One of my favorite questions to ask people is, what were you doing at age 8? And the reason I ask that question is because what I was doing at age 8 was crazy. I'm attorney Ali Awad, the CEO lawyer, and on today's episode of the CEO Lawyer Podcast, I'm going to talk about how I grew up in a mechanic shop and went from fixing cars to fixing people in car accidents. So, at age 8, I was working at a mechanic shop on 1803 Murray Avenue in Dalton, Georgia. Now, it's not a mechanic shop anymore. I think it turned into like a, I don't know, clothing store or whatever. But at that time, we would rent out that little shop for like $1,500 a month. And the reason we had that shop was because my dad had this Chrysler minivan that had the transmission go out on it. So he would go and get it fixed by this mechanic, local mechanic. They charged him like $1,500 to fix it. He came back a few months later and then realized that the transmission went out again. They didn't give him a warranty. Now he had to drop another $1,500 to get that car fixed. So he's like, screw that. Instead of going to a mechanic whenever I need something, I'll just open up my own mechanic shop. I have a mechanical engineering degree from Georgia Tech, so I'll just go ahead and open up my own shop, and my four boys will be my first four employees. That's exactly what happened. So we found a shop, we started renting it out, and we realized very quickly that doing oil changes for $19.95 and tune-ups for $49.95 was not a great way to build a very successful business. One thing that was very successful was selling used tires. And the great thing about used tires was that you can get them for free most of the time. You can go to junkyards, you can go to like Walmart, Pep Boys, all these other tire shops that would basically replace the old tires that they had from customers with new tires. And they would just throw away the old tires. And at those other shops, like the big tire shops, they have to pay a tire disposal fee between $1 and $3. So we'd be like, look, instead of you paying $1 and $3 for a disposal fee, just give them to us and you're basically saving money and we won't charge you anything. And so we would take those same used tires, literally clean them up with like oil and tire shine them up a little bit, and then put them up on these racks and sell them inside our tire shop for $20. That was the OG hustle that we had. The original gangster CEO lawyer hustle was selling used tires that we got for free. And so eventually the business started getting a little bit bigger and we started having to find sources to buy used tires. Some places would sell used tires in bulk for like $3, some for $5. And over time we realized there's different prices for different tires. Like the cheapest tire that you could get was like a 180, the cheapest tire was the 155-80-13. It was a 13-inch tire that was like $19 for a brand new tire at Walmart. It was either the Douglas Extra Track or the Uniroyal tire. Those were the two brands that Walmart used to always sell. And the reason I mentioned Walmart is because it was right down the street from our mechanic shop. And so we would sell new tires as well as used tires. We'd have this pamphlet from Walmart and it would list all the prices for the tires from Walmart. And so we would just block out the price that Walmart had and we would just show that pamphlet to the customer and say, look, here's the pamphlet, here's all the new tires. He's like, okay, well, that's the size. That's the one that I want. Okay, well, you know, the price, Walmart sells them for like $62. We'll sell them to you for like $85. You want all four of them plus mounting and balancing, call it $400 even. The customer pays us, and then we would literally drive to Walmart. Like we'd call them, hey, we're coming to pick up these four tires. Please have them ready. We'd go pick up the tires from Walmart, come back to the mechanic shop and install them. And we'd always tell people, oh, these are at our warehouse. So if you need them, just let us know and we'll sell them to you now and then go pick them up. Little did they know that Walmart was our warehouse. So that's how we basically started our business. And I remember when I was about 7, 8 years old, we never used to work Sundays. My dad used to just let us have Sundays off because that was the time where we spend with our families. We'd go out, we'd go to the park, whatever. And me, my older brother Omar, and my oldest brother Ibrahim decided we want to start working Sundays. How about you let us open up the shop, the mechanic shop, on Sundays, and we just split the money with you? So the very first Sunday that we ever opened, I think we sold like $120 worth of used tires. So $120, 50% of it goes to my dad, so there's that $60, and then the other $60, the remaining $60 would split amongst us three. So we each made $20 that first Sunday. Now, when you're 8 years old and you earn $20, it's a life-changing experience. And I'm like, I want more of it. So we went back the following Sunday. The following Sunday, we made like $212. And so this time, I'm taking home like $34. It's like, yo, this is gangster. We getting paid, homie. And then the third Sunday, we made even more money. And that's when my dad decided, okay, we're officially opening up on Sundays and I'm keeping all of the money. So that's when I learned that Icarus should not fly too close to the sun because he could burn his wings. And again, that's what I was doing at age 8. I was learning how to sell used tires. I basically mounted, balanced, and installed more tires during the ages 8 to 18 than I think most people in that business would do in a lifetime. I'm pretty sure it was over 20,000 tires, like way over 20. If I did the math, I definitely mounted, balanced, and installed over 20,000 tires before I became a college student. That was my upbringing. And so when you look at me now, it's like, of course I appreciate working with my bare hands because that's how I grew up. But when you have the opportunity to work with your brain instead of with your hands and your lower back, you really appreciate it more. And you realize this is scalable. Like, I can't scale working with my hands that much. Like, if I have to be the one that's changing the tires, if I have to be the one that's actually going to court myself, if I have to be the one that's signing off on every document for my law firm, I can't scale that business. But I started learning scaling businesses at a very early age because I knew what I couldn't grow. That's what happened when I was young. So let's talk about some of the workplace injuries. Like, the very first like major injury that I had was a propane tank falling on my foot and swelling up to the size of a rugby ball. So here I am in third grade in Mr. Kittle's class, and I'm limping on my way into the school because I have this huge, huge foot that doesn't even fit inside my shoe. I had to take out all the shoelaces. And I was so embarrassed because, like, I'm not going to tell people, like, oh, yeah, a propane tank fell on my foot. But I was working with my dad at the time and my three brothers, and he had this welding gig where he basically created this jig where we would basically weld these little pieces. It was like a part that was supposed to be installed in a forklift, and my dad was like the only one that could create a machine for it in the U.S. at that time in the 90s. So he was like, all right, I'm going to take the four boys with me, and we're going to basically weld together. And if you know anything about welding, you're not supposed to look at the welding because it's so freaking bright. So my dad and my oldest brother, Ibrahim, would have the welding masks on. And those welding masks, they weren't like the new masks that would automatically go dark the moment you started welding. These, you have to basically like see where you're going to weld and then put the mask down and then look up. Okay, yeah, did I weld it correctly? Good. I didn't. Oh, crap. Let me grind it off and fix it. And so, because we were kids, we were just curious. We'd always want to look and be like, okay, what's going on with that bright thing? So every night, my mom would basically get these cucumbers and put them on our eyes because they were burning so much from looking at all the welding sparks. And, you know, being an 8 or 9 year old kid, my younger brother was 7. So, like, if you can imagine a 7 year old kid, we're running around this carpet factory in Dalton, Georgia. And, you know, somehow one of us knocks into this 50-gallon propane tank that gets knocked over and falls on my foot. And it's not like we have money to go see a doctor or, you know, get x-rays or whatever. We're just like, hey, you know, looks like foot's swollen. Give it a few days. Just ice it, throw some dirt on it, you'll be fine. And that was basically the first workplace injury that I ever had. The next year, we graduated to a mechanic shop. And that first injury I had was airing up a tire on this Coates tire machine. So there's these different like tire machines that you have in mechanic shops. The new tire machines basically have all these arms so that they don't scratch the rim. So when you're installing a tire over a rim, it has all these different arms around it so it can basically go right around the rubber, the inside rubber of the tire, and create just enough of a gap to where the tire can go above the rim and not scratch the rim. Well, the old school tire machines basically had one rod in the middle, and you'd put the wheel on top of it, and there would be one little spike that would go in the lug nut hole of the wheel, and then the rod would be in the middle. And so this would mainly be for steel wheels, like the old steel wheels, not the nice alloy wheels that you see today. So the rod would go in the middle, and then you get this like one metal piece that you'd spin, and it'd lock the wheel in place. And then once the wheel is locked in place, you'd grab a hammer and hit it a couple of times so to make sure it's super locked in so that the tire doesn't fly out. Once the wheel and tire is set in, then you have to break the bead. So you'll grab a little, you know, the arm that breaks the bead so that the tire is now no longer sealed with the wheel, breaks the bead, and then you have a metal bar that goes, basically grabs the lip of the tire to go over the wheel. You put it on the tire machine, you click the right pedal, and then that turns the whole machine, turns the turntable. And you do that again to take off both beads of the tire. Well, the same thing happens when you put the tire back on. So you put the tire back on, and to save time, we would air up the tire while it was still in the machine. You're not supposed to do that because the tire machine doesn't have a gauge. It's just designed to change tires. It doesn't have a gauge that's going to be, that's going to tell you how much pressure, how much PSI is in that tire. So I'm sitting here, I don't know, having a conversation with my brother or a customer or whatever, and I'm airing up this tire while it's on the machine. And I'm talking to them, yelling at them, like, yeah, I'll be there in a minute. Don't worry about it. Like, just give me like 2 more minutes. I'll finish this. And the used tire exploded in my face. My ears rang for like 3 days. Like, I couldn't hear anything. It's like exactly like when you watch a movie and a bomb goes off and everything goes bright. And then you see the person like dazed and disoriented, and it's just like a screechy sound. That's exactly what it felt like. And I was 9 years old. So that was the second workplace injury that I've ever had. And the good thing is I haven't had any, well, I had maybe one other tire blow up in my face, but that was different because it was just a messed up tire. But the good thing is when you make those mistakes early on, you don't make those same mistakes over and over and over again. So I'm very thankful for that experience. So age 8 and 9 were pretty rough for me. I had a couple of injuries, but I started learning at that same time how to sell things online. In 1999, I opened up my first eBay store and I decided to sell a pair of Rockford Fosgate 15-inch subwoofers. And this was my first sale that I ever did online. I didn't have a camera. I didn't have a phone that could take cameras because in 1999, like, there were no camera phones. And it's not like I had a digital camera and I can upload a picture of these subwoofers. So what I did was I just found pictures of them online, and they weren't the same model by any means. It was a much bigger and better model that I took a picture of and uploaded it to eBay and said, yep, here are my subwoofers. They're $75. So, man, I learned so much from that experience. First, don't lie to customers because eBay buyer protection and PayPal protection is really, really rough. Second, shipping subwoofers is very expensive, and if you don't have $30 to throw around, don't get into the business of shipping and selling stuff online. Third, there is a process for how to get more sales online. Like, the title of your eBay posting needs to stand out. So I used to always make the eBay title all capital letters. The description needs to be also a way to sell people on that product. So if everything is just one font, one size, not much effort into it, probably people are not going to be as inclined to bid and buy the full price of that product. I also learned that it's all about your reputation on eBay. So if you get 100% feedback and you have over 100 different transactions, the easiest way to get people to trust and buy from you is by building up your feedback. And so I decided to start buying more stuff on eBay to build up my feedback to get 100% score, showing multiple transactions. So when I started selling stuff online, it would get that much easier. I had that automatic credibility. So from age 9 to about 17, I did a ton of online sales. I don't think I did millions of dollars, but I definitely did hundreds of thousands of dollars in eBay sales. We would buy our kicker subwoofers online from this website called UBID. I would sell these Audiobond amplifiers on eBay all over and ship them all over the world. I would sell air purifiers, anything I get my hands on, polo shirts, literally anything that I get my hands on, I would sell them online. And so during those years, I learned the value of working with my brain instead of with my hands. So I went from like a mechanic shop to online sales. And then at age 19, I opened up my own wholesale company for car audio. I tried to partner up with a friend of mine. He wasn't about that life. So I very quickly realized if I wanted to do business, I had to do it on my own. At the same time, I was running the car audio shops with my brothers. We had Joker's Audio in Dalton, and then we opened up another one in Kennesaw. So those were the businesses that I was running, along with selling stuff online, along with learning how to flip cars on the side, along with building up my credit. So I was doing all these different things at the same time. And I really thought I was like a hardcore entrepreneur. Like, dude, I'm making moves, you know, I'm doing all these things. And but nothing really was like super, super successful. So the biggest decision I had to make was when I finally hit about age 23, I had to decide whether I wanted to continue working in the car audio and business space and online sales, or if I wanted to just forget about all of that and focus all of my efforts on just personal injury law. And it was the toughest decision I had to make because I had a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of effort invested into those other businesses. But I had to leave good to become great. And when I did that, it took a couple of years to start really building up my experience. And it's basically like starting from scratch and build up that pipeline of clients. But after about 2017, when I started my law practice and went full time, that's all I did. I wasn't doing anything else. It only took about a year to become a millionaire. And so it's like, it looks like it's an overnight success. It looks like I was able to make millions of dollars in a year from 2017 to 2018. But the truth is, I started it in 1999 with my first online store. In fact, I started it in 98, 97 when I was working in the mechanic shops and plugging tires for $5 for customers and selling used tires for $20 and then learning how to sell online from 99 to 2007, and then having my own wholesale company, and then having a graphics design company. I had a graphics design company. I had like a 7-year stretch for that. That was a fun business. So all of those things built up to that point where when I decided to start my own practice, I had all of that experience. And it really does take 20 years to become an overnight success. So whenever I'm interviewing new people or I'm trying to get to know new people, I always like to ask them, what were you doing at age 8? And some people have innocent childhoods. Some people were just, you know, going to school, playing with their friends, and that's it. And those people can also turn into great, influential people. But I really look for those that had a difficult childhood. I look for the people that had to help their parents to be able to make ends meet. I look for the people that had to work on weekends, like they were bus boys, or they were paper boys on the weekends, delivering newspapers on that newspaper route on their bicycle. I look for the people that were selling ice cream on the side. I look for people that were opening up lemonade stands, because those are the people that have work ingrained into their moral fiber. And they work because they love it and they have to. Like, I have to work in order to continue. And those are the people that I usually find I have the most closeness with, and I can relate to them the most. And a lot of the team members in my firm now have similar stories. Not growing up in mechanic shops with used tires exploding in their faces, but they were working during their childhood. They were doing something. They weren't just at home playing video games and wasting away their childhood years. They were doing something. And those are the people that I usually find have the highest probability of success. Part of it is from good parenting and having good role models, but also just learning the value of hard work at a very early age. And that doesn't mean at age 18, that means at age 8. So the next time you meet someone and you want to know a little bit about them, ask them, what were you doing at age 8? Because the CEO lawyer asked you to do that. I'm attorney Ali Awad, the CEO lawyer. Thank you for tuning in. We will see y'all next time.